I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 20. And the text for our meditation this evening is from verse 29 to verse 34. What is the sinner's prayer? We are taught to pray the sinner's prayer, or we teach others to pray the sinner's prayer when they want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And oftentimes, we would very carefully define it with a proper theological understanding of what a sinner's prayer should include. We will include first an acknowledgement of our own sin, and then we will also include a recognition of the Savior. We will include repentance, a turning away from sin, and then we will also include a turning unto and the seeking of the Savior. And no doubt, with this proper understanding, the sinner's prayer that we will often teach to others is very meaningful. It is theologically correct and it is biblical. What we see in the passage here and the cry that we are looking at this evening is perhaps a more succinct form of this sinner's prayer. It's a cry that is very simple, but it's full of meaning. All these wonderful truths are just included in this simple phrase. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Now, this cry is also found in the two other Gospels of Mark and Luke, where in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, now the cry in Luke is very similar to the cry in Mark, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, the cry is uttered this way: Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we believe that these accounts in Matthew, Mark, that is in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 onwards, and Luke, that is from Luke chapter 18, verse 35 onwards, these are parallel accounts. Now, you may immediately wonder why, because in Matthew, the account seems to describe two beggars, whereas the account in Mark and Luke seems to describe one beggar. Now, what we believe is that there are indeed two beggars, of which one is named Bartimaeus. And the accounts in Mark and Luke would describe the perspective from one beggar, where he seems to be the spokesman, the more prominent of the two. Whereas Matthew would give us the fuller picture, where there are indeed two beggars. But what we see here is this very simple cry. Now, when you look at the context of this passage in Matthew chapter 20, what we see is that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ had just departed from the region of Galilee, from the northern part of Israel. And as the Lord Jesus Christ departed from Galilee, it will be the last time he will have his ministry in this northern region of Israel. He will no longer return back to Galilee anymore, because he is now going from Galilee to Jerusalem, where he would soon go to his death. And as he left Galilee, he passed by the eastern region of the Sea of, or the River Jordan. So he would cross over from the Galilee region to the eastern region across the River Jordan. And then he would travel downwards toward Jerusalem. Now, while traveling downwards to Jerusalem, he then passed through the city, Jericho. And the account that we have in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 onwards, would be where the Lord Jesus Christ has already passed through Jericho, and now he was departing from Jericho. You see that in verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. So as the Lord Jesus Christ now departed from Jericho, there was a great multitude that was following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped in his tracks. As he was going to the cross, seeking to accomplish his great work and mission on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, stood still. You see that in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 20. Jesus stood still. Well, he just suddenly stopped and he gave his attention to these two helpless and insignificant beggars. Why? Simply because they cried out unto him. It is a simple cry, a plain cry, but a cry that caught the attention of our Savior. It's a cry that is most deep, most filled with meaning. And this is the cry that we want to ponder upon this evening. Now, what is this cry? Now, the first thing we can notice about this cry is that this is an earnest seeking for mercy. You see how they sought for mercy. From verse 30 to verse 31, so verse 29 gives us the background, the context. Then from verse 30 to verse 31, the Bible then expresses how these two blind beggars, now in Matthew, it does not tell us that they are beggars, okay? But they are just told as blind men. But we know from Mark and Luke that they are beggars. So the Bible here tells us that these two blind beggars, they were poor, helpless. They cried out unto the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon him, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Now, the first thing that we notice here with regard to their cry as they sought for mercy is that they recognize their own poverty, their own helplessness, their own desperation, and their own need. Have mercy. Now, this is a cry that is not easy to utter. Because to many of us who are healthy, strong, rich, many of us who are capable, we are intelligent, we are accomplished, this is a cry that is not easy to utter. How often would you readily utter this cry, "Have mercy"? You would have others cry out to have mercy to you, that you show them mercy. But seldom would you hear this cry from people who are educated, established, wealthy. But this is what happened over here. These two poor blind beggars, they were conscious of their great need. But I'd like to highlight one very important truth here. Because although in their cry, when they cried out, "Have mercy on us," and later on when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" they say, "Open our eyes." I'd like to point out that their concern was not merely physical in nature, but it was also spiritual. That their acknowledging of this physical need was just but a reflection of their acknowledging of their spiritual need as well. Now, I'm not allegorizing here, but I know this to be true because later on in Mark chapter 10 verse 47. In Mark chapter 10 verse 47, their cry was, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." In Matthew, it is addressed as "Lord." But in Mark chapter 10 verse 47, the Bible tells us that they cried out, "Jesus," and Jesus means Savior. They were crying out unto the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In other words, they saw their own spiritual condition and their spiritual need. Furthermore, later on, when you see the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ, now again, you will not see this in Matthew, but you will see this in Luke chapter 18, verse 42. The Lord Jesus Christ responded by saying, "Thy faith has saved thee." Not only let your eyes be open, but he also said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." In fact, if you look at the various miracles that we have been studying so far as it concerns those miracles that has the healing, these are miracles of healing, those that we have studied in the Sunset Gospel hours thus far, you realize that oftentimes these miracles are just but outward manifestations of the inward spiritual experience that these people also have. That the Lord chose to manifest their faith outwardly by way of these miracles. But it was just but a reflection of their inward spiritual experience that they also had. In other words, what I believe was happening here was that these two blind men not only saw their physical need, that they were indeed blind, but they also saw their spiritual need. Hence, they cried out, "Savior." And the Lord Jesus Christ responded, "Thy faith hath saved thee." That is an important lesson, because perhaps these blind men over here, they are able to perceive their own condition better than many who have sight. Are you conscious? Are you aware of your own spiritual condition and need? And do the Lord sometimes have to bring us into great physical poverty to show us how poor we are in spirit? Do you only have to wait until such a case where the Lord may afflict us physically to show us our spiritual need? But are you aware of your own spiritual need? This is the beginning of the seeking. Unless you are conscious of how poor you are in the spirit, you will not seek. But when they sought the Lord, now you see how their seeking was so earnest. And you notice here that there was a great multitude that was following the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 29, a great multitude followed him. And so you would imagine the whole commotion, the noise. People would be chattering and talking. Maybe others would be asking the Lord Jesus Christ questions. But these two blind men, they heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. How are they going to capture the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ? They simply cried out. And their cry was an earnest cry. Now you see that in verse 30, the Bible at the second part of verse 30 says, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Now this word to cry out means to shout aloud, to call for help. It has the idea of entreating and pleading very earnestly. They were beggars, and they just earnestly cried out. And then you further see their earnestness. Later on, the multitude rebuked them. In verse 31, the multitude rebuked them. Now this would be a harsh word. And then the multitude says, they should hold their peace. In other words, the multitude called on them to be silent. But amidst the voice of men, amidst the rebuke of the multitude, the Bible says, they cried out even more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They refused to let their voice be drowned out, even by the voice of men, the rejections of men. This is their earnestness in crying out. They saw their great desperate need, that they would simply disregard the embarrassment. They would disregard their own shame, and they just needed the Savior. Now it was a sharp, simple, but meaningful cry. And I wonder whether there are those who would also cry this simple, earnest cry this evening. You notice here that it was not a very fanciful and long and well-crafted prayer. It was also not a beautiful song that was sung, but just a simple, earnest cry and prayer. They were not seeking the applause of men. Now, this is one of the dangers and the problems, and perhaps also one reason why the BP Church does not practice this thing called altar call. Because in some churches, when they call for an altar call is where the preacher at the end of a message would give an appeal to the people, and then he appeal for those who want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ to come up forward. And as those respond to this call, coming out forward, the congregation would clap. Maybe the preacher would say, "Oh, I see a hand there, somebody, please come forward." And then you would see the congregation applauding this person who is now responding in faith. There seem to be those who merely would respond to the call, or they would cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the applause of men. because of the pressures of men. But now in this present case, it was the opposite. They were pressured by men to not cry unto Jesus, but they cried all the more. Would you cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ with this simple, earnest prayer? Even though you may struggle to find words, to string properly, to make beautiful sentences, but this earnest, sincere cry, have mercy on us, it is enough unto the Lord. Now I'd like to show you one more thing with regard to their cry. Not only was their cry one where they acknowledged and they saw their own helplessness, not only was their cry simple and earnest, they knew who they were seeking mercy from. And this is why I believe their cry, although being so simple, was so powerful. It is because they understood and they knew whom they were seeking mercy from. They said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." O Lord here would describe master. They acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their master. And then as described earlier in Mark chapter 10 verse 47 and Luke chapter 18 verse 38, they also acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus. So he is both Lord, my master, and also Jesus, my savior. This is the name of Jesus that they were crying out unto, because the Lord Jesus Christ means savior. They acknowledge him as their savior. A simple cry. How wonderful the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is. But more than that, you see their understanding. They say that this is, O Lord, Jesus, thou son of David. Now the title here, son of David, is a messianic name. It is an identification of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And for the people in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him as a Messiah is a most difficult thing to do. In fact, even today, when you speak to many Jews, many of them will be able to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as a good teacher or even a good prophet. They may even go so far to say he is the best prophet or the best teacher this world has ever seen. But they will never acknowledge that he is the Messiah. The Messiah would describe the anointed one, the one who has been sent from God in order to save the world from their sin. But these two blind men, beggars, were given such spiritual sight that they could understand and see and know that this Jesus is the Son of David. Now, I'd like to point out one thing. It is not merely the mouthing of the words, Son of David, that saved them. Because we know that later on, there would be those who are able to mouth these words, to say, Jesus is the Son of David. Yet they would mouth it in a mocking way. They also would mouth it without faith. And just by calling out, Jesus, thou Son of David, without faith means nothing. When you just go down to the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 5, this here we have is the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible here says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Okay, now then this would be the context. The Lord Jesus Christ was entering into Jerusalem with a triumphant entry. Now you go down to verse 9. Look at how they address the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now they were at this point able to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David, the one who is sent. But what did they have in mind? They were only concerned for their physical well-being. They were only interested in the Lord Jesus Christ who is to come to deliver them from the Romans. To deliver them from the Roman Empire. To establish this kingdom on earth. This was how short-sighted they were. Because this same multitude later on, when they realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was not here to establish his kingdom on earth yet, but was here to save them from their sins, they will be the same people who will cry out, "Crucify him." Now, just by mouthing the words, "Son of David," it means nothing. Later on, when you just go down the next chapter in Matthew chapter 22, you see, the Pharisees were also able to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David. I'd like you all to turn to this passage, because in Matthew chapter 22, from verse 41 to verse 46, here you see the Pharisees again having just a mental appreciation of this truth, but not a heart appropriation of it. They did not receive it in their heart. They did not appropriate it in their heart. They just had a mental knowledge of it. Now, in verse 41, Matthew 22, the Bible says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The Son of David.'" Now, the word Christ is the Greek word and the Greek equivalent for Messiah. It is the same meaning, the anointed one. "What think ye of the anointed one?" Referring to himself. The Pharisees are able to say, "He's the Son of David." Then the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them. He says, "He saith unto them, 'How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?'" Now what the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying is simply this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Yet David called the Lord Jesus Christ his Lord. How is it that David would call the Lord Jesus Christ, who is David's son, his Lord? And when the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question of the Pharisees, the Bible says no man was able to answer him a word. And they were unable to understand this truth. They were unable to fully appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying he is the Messiah. He is David's son, yet David's Lord. Now, but this is the difference. The cry of faith of these two blind men went beyond the physical. They cried out, "Savior," and they understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They understood that he is the Messiah. And it's a question I'd like to ask all of us who are gathered here this evening. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? I suspect there may be some in our midst. Young people especially. Those who grew up in the church. That you don't really know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Maybe you would know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of David. But perhaps, would you only profess the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way the multitude professed him? You are unable to see beyond the physical. You only want the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy your physical longings and your physical needs. You are unable to look beyond the physical. And when you go through afflictions, when you go through struggles and persecutions, then you wonder, is the Lord Jesus Christ really the anointed one? And then would you so soon as this multitude cry out, also cry out, "Crucify him"? When the Lord Jesus Christ no longer satisfies your physical, you are unable to look beyond that and see the spiritual. Are you able to look beyond the physical and the earthly and see your great spiritual poverty? That the Lord Jesus Christ here is to save your soul from your sin. There may also be those who have been in church for a long time. This would be the young adults or the adults. Like the Pharisees, you would have a deep theological understanding of Scripture, because that was what the Pharisees had. They understood the truth of Scripture, and they were even able to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. They are able to engage in theological discourses, but they are unable to answer the question, how is Jesus Christ David's Son, yet David's Lord? It is because He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. You see, this is how this simple cry of these two blind men is so filled with meaning. Unlike the multitude, unlike the Pharisees, they understood who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah, the Son of David, the Savior, the one who has come to save me from my sin. And my friends, are you calling out upon Him tonight? Are you crying out, have mercy upon me? Do you know who He is? Now, if you cry out unto Him, the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to show mercy. Now, this is the second truth, this second wonderful truth that we find in this passage. There is this seeking for mercy. That's the first truth we have seen. Then the second truth we see immediately is the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to show mercy. Now, look at this in verse 32. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Now, in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ departing from Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped. Now, this standing still here has the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ paying very careful attention. The cry now caught His ear. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to act. He's not rushing to Jerusalem anymore. He's ready to act. And what is more wonderful still, you notice in verse 32. The Lord Jesus Christ would have heard the commotion where the multitude was rebuking these two beggars. And then the Lord Jesus Christ Himself called out to the beggars. Jesus stood still and called them. Now this word to call here, again, also is a different word from the cry of the beggars. But this word to call has the idea of calling out. To call aloud. To shout out. The Lord Jesus Christ turned His attention to them in the midst of all the confusion, and He cried out unto them. And He said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Are there words that are more reassuring and comforting than this? Than to hear the voice of the Savior in the midst of the noise of the world? Even in the midst of the pull of the world, the attraction of the world, even when we feel we seem so far gone, the Lord Jesus Christ calls out unto us, what will ye that I shall do unto you? The Lord Jesus Christ ignored the murmurings of many. Would these multitudes here, would they not also long to hear these words? They have been following the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some of them may even have been following from Galilee. Would they not have longed to hear these words spoken unto them? What would they have done just to hear these words? And how so many would do so much just to hear these words, but they will never find comfort in these words. Maybe others would try. They would try and try. They may try to impress the Lord Jesus Christ. They may try to impress the Lord Jesus Christ like the Pharisees would, with their theological understanding, with their knowledge of Scriptures. Maybe others would try to impress the Lord Jesus Christ like the Pharisee would, when he says, I am not like this sinner, a publican. I'm not like this publican, a sinner. They would try to impress the Lord Jesus Christ like that. Maybe others would try to impress the Lord Jesus Christ or try to just earn this cry with their achievements, with their good works. But they would try and try, but they would never hear this cry. But the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to show mercy if you just call upon Him. I wonder whether there are Christians and sinners here this evening who are like that. You have been seeking. You are thirsty. And you are weary. And you just long for this cry from your Savior. But you have been searching and seeking and you cannot find. Maybe you have been trying to do this or that. Maybe you have been trying to twist your voice, to change your tone in such a way. Maybe if I appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe if I use this posture or that posture, or maybe if I attend meetings like that, maybe that is where I can find mercy. Maybe you have been seeking, but you have been trying to find and doing so many things, but you have not been able to find peace and rest in your Savior simply because you are unable to call out unto Him. Is it because of your pride? Is it because you think that the gospel is too simple? Oh, there are those who are like that. I remember going for evangelism once, where this poor man, he says, really, is that all to salvation from sin? Is that all to the gospel, that I just need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? And he was unable to accept it because to him, it is too simple. He wants to do more. Maybe just to appease his own guilt, just to alleviate this guilty feeling in his heart. He wants to do more to save himself from sin. But the gospel is too simple for him. Is this also the struggle of some Christians this evening, that you find the gospel too simple for you? But would you not just cry unto him and then hear him say, what will ye that I shall do unto you? A most precious cry. How comforting these words are. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come to the Savior. You just have to acknowledge your own helplessness, your own poverty. You just have to seek Him earnestly, not through works, not through lengthy prayers, not through merely attendance of church, but just to cry unto Him, have mercy upon us, O Lord, Thou Son of David. This cry is enough to save you. And then, finally, we see from verse 33 to verse 34 how this man received mercy. In verse 33, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the two beggars said, they said unto him, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. A simple request. Then verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ now, the Bible says, he had compassion on them. Now this word compassion is a most precious word. It means to have literally the bowels yearning for a person. You see, in the Bible often does not use the heart to describe the place of our emotions. Now, modern terms, we would describe the heart. My heart aches. My heart feels for you. In the Bible often uses the bowels, these guts, to describe the place of the emotion. And so when the Bible uses this word compassion here, it literally describes this innards that is yearning, that seems to be turning within itself as it yearns for a person. It has the idea of sympathy. And the Bible's word of sympathy really has the idea of a modern word to empathize. It means to feel together with. So the Lord Jesus Christ now had compassion on them. And why was the Lord Jesus Christ able to have such compassion on them? Because he walked among us. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He lived among us. Because of that, he can have compassion on us. Now, I'd like you all to turn also to the passage in Mark and then also to Luke, because in Mark and Luke, they gave a different part, a different perspective and aspect of how they received mercy. You turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 52. In Mark chapter 10, verse 52, the Bible says here, Jesus said unto them, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in his way, in the way. So you put these two thoughts together. The Lord Jesus Christ showed compassion. And then he says, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Because of this, receive your sight. Now this seems to be referring to the physical aspect. Thy faith has made thee whole. Receive thy sight. But to get even a more complete picture, now look at Luke chapter 18, verse 42. In Luke chapter 18, verse 42, the Bible then says, okay, verse 42 and verse 43, And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, I believe here the expressions receive thy sight and thy faith hath saved thee refers to two different aspects of how this man is made whole. He is not only made whole physically, but his faith hath saved him, whereby his soul is also saved. He has been given life, eternal life, spiritual life, where his faith has made him whole physically and now also spiritually. Receiving mercy, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, receiving mercy is not a complicated business. In fact, there's really nothing much to describe about this. The Lord Jesus Christ showed compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ showed mercy. And their faith saved them. There's nothing much else to say about that, because receiving mercy is not a complicated business. But my friends, are there sinners this evening who are seeking for mercy? Do you realize your own great spiritual poverty? Your own spiritual blindness without the Savior? Would you not cry out this same cry? This is a cry of great and deep theological truth, expressed sincerely, simply. It is not complicated or fanciful, but it's so full of meaning. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Receiving mercy is simply this. You plead with the Savior for mercy, and you will be made whole. You plead with the Savior for mercy, and you will receive salvation. Are there sinners here this evening? Those who have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ? Or those who are unsure whether you have received the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not come unto Him for mercy? Are there also Christians? You know you once believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have gone on in your own wayward pursuits. You have pursued after your own sinful, selfish ambitions. Maybe you have been still attending church, but you know your heart is far away from the Lord, and the cares of this world seem to have a grip on your heart that you cannot break free from it. Would you not cry, acknowledging your own spiritual need? Have mercy on me. How to receive mercy? Cry out unto Him, and He gives you mercy. Come to the Lord sincerely. Plead with Him, and He will make you whole. The cry this evening is not a complicated one. It's simply, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. This is a most simpler, the simplest, yet a most meaningful cry a sinner can ever utter. Let us pray. Our gracious and merciful, loving Heavenly Father, as we have seen the cry of these two pitiful beggars, we also see how pitiful we are. When we live our lives without our Savior, how so empty, how so dry and thirsty we are. We are in fact more pitiful than these beggars when we are unable to see and acknowledge our own spiritual poverty. O Lord, we plead with Thee that this evening Thou will show us our true state, our true condition, that in realizing who we are and how much we need our Savior, we will simply cry out to Him, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." Can there be any other that we can cry unto to receive mercy? O Lord, we thank Thee that this cry is but a simple cry. It's a most honest and earnest cry. But it's also a cry which Thou hearest, a cry which Thou wilt not despise. We pray for any who is in our midst this evening, who is troubled because of the burden of sin. Some Christians who also may be so burdened with the cares of this world. They also may be troubled with the guilt of their backsliding. In whatever state we are, O Lord, help us to cry this simple cry. Have mercy on us. How we thank Thee that Thy mercy, it is new every morning. And we partake of it. And it refreshes us. It gives us life. It renews us. How we praise Thee because of Thy mercy. So Lord, may Thou pour down Thy mercy upon Thy people this evening. For this is our humble cry. We come before Thee as helpless, needy people. Hear our cry. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.